What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
It's Brian Mazurowski. It's Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN. Hope everyone's having a nice day out there today. You know, seeing a little bit of sun here, which is nice, Joe. I had the most annoying thing yesterday. I wonder if you ever get these. Maybe now more so than you ever would have before, but like door-to-door solicitors?
No.
No? In my neighborhood a lot. You see them all over the place. You hear people talk about them all the time, too. But, you know, I would say at least like three or four a year.
Wow.
Okay. Knocking on your door, and it's always the same stuff. So this is my yesterday. I get home, and it's a very important time for me. I got like an hour or so.
To yourself?
To myself.
Oh, amazing.
I get to eat lunch, maybe take a shower, you know, do whatever I need to do. I got an hour or so between like here and picking up the kids. And that's not every day. Like today I don't, but you know, I'm a few days a week. Yeah. I have that hour.
It's a great hour.
To just, you know, reset, you know, recharge, maybe take like a quick little nap or something like that. Well, yesterday I get home about to, you know, let the dogs out, about to make myself a little bit of lunch.
Ooh.
A little knock on the door. I'm like, okay, well, I'm thinking maybe it's my neighbor because they just saw me pull in and knew that I was home. Nope, open the door. And who is it, of course? Two people wearing like, you know, a hard hat or something like that, or a badge. It's always the same type of people who go door to door. They're selling you some sort of BS on energy.
Yeah.
It's always, hey, you can save. Hey, we're in your neighborhood, just spreading the word. You can save 20 to 30% on, you know, whatever it is. And this time it was, you know, some younger lady, and then she must have been like a grifter in training, because they had there was a guy down the steps, like in front of my porch, who was kind of keeping an eye on the situation. And, you know, I opened the door and I'm like, oh, God, why did I open the door?
Why didn't you look out the window first?
Well, I've got like this thing on the, I can't see out the window. I can see a vague shape. I can see a color. I saw a bright green shirt. And one of my neighbors works for the highway department and will often wear that, and I thought it was my neighbor.
Okay.
So I open the door, I see oh, come on. All right, so here we go. So they start, you know, hey, you know, I'd like to talk with you a little bit about, okay. A little bit about your energy. You could save 20 to 30% on energy. This neighborhood, this is my favorite part. First, they're always wearing badges.
Yeah, their work badge.
Like, what? Is that fooling anybody, the badge? It actually does. I remember being a reporter here out in the field every day, and there was one building downtown. I forget if it was City Court or Old County Hall, or one of these buildings where I would go in, and the security guy, he'd always ask, where's your media badge? You know, I need to see your media badge. I was like, media? I don't have a media badge. Like, what are you talking about? You don't have a media ID? I was like, do you give out media IDs?
Yeah.
Like, no, just a media ID for your company. I'm like, oh, I'm carrying around $1,000 worth of radio equipment, but you want a card with my face and a logo on it. So I came here the next day, made one on the computer in 5 minutes, printed it out, laminated it. I go into that building later that week. All right, see you. Walk right on by. Like, what security system is this? A media badge. Anyone can make a media badge.
Anyone can go to Kinko's and get a...
So, yeah, they got their badge. They're, like, all official. Anyways, so they're saying, my neighborhood, Joe, exciting news. My neighborhood has been, and our area in general, we have an abundance of solar energy.
That's great.
You know, she said this. She was at my door yesterday. No irony in the voice, whatever. We're 20 minutes post downpour. It's grayer than like an apocalypse movie outside. Hey, you're a great area for solar energy. I live in the cloudiest city in America. Maybe we do. I don't know. But no, apparently I live in a great city for solar energy, and I have to hear about this exciting new offer. Oof. And, you know, all that comes with it. Solar. Hello? Yeah. Could you anything else. Wind. It's windy. You could have said wind.
Switch the script up.
It would have been nice. And so I I'm sorry, I'm not really interested. And then Mr. Manager downstairs pipes in.
Yeah. Oh, hey.
Can I ask why? That's what he said. Now, I'm just, again, I got an hour. I'm like trying to just do my normal things, be a part of my day before I go on, pick up the kids and do all that stuff. Now, what I wanted to say, What I wanted to say was, well, sir, it's the year 2024 and you're a door-to-door salesman. That doesn't exist in 2020. Well, like, I wasn't born yesterday. Who do you think I am? Like, no one. You could actually be the most legitimate business in the world. I am not buying anything from somebody who comes knocking on my door.
Yeah, no.
What is this? It's not 1953 and you don't have a vacuum in your van. Like, what? This doesn't happen anymore. Can I ask why? Because you knocked on my door in the middle of the day. I just got home. I'm not getting roped into an energy scam. This is exactly what you hear about in the news, which, by the way, I'm on.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to happen?
Similar stories.
Like, what do you think is going to happen? It happens all the time. You look official. You got a badge. Sometimes it's a kid just wearing a neon vest with like torn up sneakers coming to my house. Like, I'm never buying anything from you people. You could be the most legitimate business in the world. Never in a million years. Could I ask why? Like, that's why. I didn't say that, though. I just said, you know, I've got... I just don't have the time for this right now.
Yeah, no.
Well, you know, we could schedule a time. If it's timing, we could come back, you know, for another time. No! I'm done.
Really forcing you just to say the truth.
Like let's go. See ya. Sorry. Bye. Close the door. I'll see somebody again in 3 months, I'm sure.
See, I'm surprised you got that far because you strike me as the person that was like, you know what, I'm just not interested. Like, as soon as they started talking, I'm sorry, can't do it, and just close the door.
I'm being nice.
Yeah, very nice.
I'm being nice. I don't want to slam the door in somebody's face. You know, it looked like somebody who was new to the job.
Yeah.
Maybe it would have been a lesson to find another job.
Yeah, exactly. This isn't going to do it.
But I mean, people have to have these stories, right, of the people going to your door and you just getting... Now, if my wife had opened the door, she would have been roped into talking to these people for forever.
She wouldn't have gotten the energy plan, though. She would have just talked to them longer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which would have wasted everybody's time. That's got to be the worst.
I mean, there is some kind of delight in that, though. You wasted their time.
Yeah. They're just usually... Now, I just let the dogs out in the back. Usually, I have the benefit of my dog, my one dog in particular, just going... absolutely crazy at whoever's at the door.
Sorry, can't hear you. Gotta go.
Yeah, like, and then I'll point at the dog and be like, you're gonna keep me, look at this, like, we're not doing this right now. Like, this is crazy. See ya.
So we ran a story a few weeks ago, Brian, about one of the energy companies someone was going around scamming about credits if you had a certain energy company. And I was picking my son up at my parents' house, and someone come around with that same talking point. So I said, oh, I have to get my parents. I could have just said, hey, sorry, not interested. But, you know, hey, my name's not on the house. So I made one of my parents come to the door. I think my mom went to the door and said, yeah, I don't really take care of the bill. Sorry. And the guy walked away. But no badge, didn't look official, had a vineyard quarter zip on. But, you know, was going door to door at like 1 p.m.
Is this the wrong attitude to have? You're knocking on my door trying to sell me something. I think it's a scam.
Yes. In 2024, yeah. Like you said, I remember in the 90s, someone came to my parents' door with a, I don't know why I remember this, with a vacuum cleaner and did a full display in my parents' living room, just for my parents to say not interested. But did a full display with this vacuum cleaner. Hey, could buy it now. You know,
hey, you're going to vacuum my house for free? Yeah. All right, let's go.
So they, you know, it was like a shampooing vacuum cleaner. I don't know, again, I don't know why I remember it, but that's like the longest I remember dealing with a door-to-door salesperson. And obviously since then, the only person living in an apartment or now this townhouse that's come up to our door was when we lived in Orchard Park during the census. Someone came up, and I only remember that, Brian, because this person knocked on the door 15 minutes before I was planning to propose to my... so, like, yeah, hey, we live here. Get out.
Yeah. See ya.
Yeah.
That's, see ya, buddy.
That's the only door-to-door person I remember while living in, like I said, either an apartment or a townhouse.
Was it the Whirlpool vacuum with the water in it?
I was like six.
What was the purpose of the water in the vacuum?
To shampoo.
No. It didn't shampoo it. The water didn't shoot out. It just spun around in the big thing.
For carpet? Oh.
You don't remember these vacuums?
Because that sucked up the, like, it was a stain remover. It would suck the stuff out of the carpet. Remember? The graphic showed you it taking, and the water helped, the hydro whatever helped.
What a.
Also, easier cleanup. Because you could just now pour that into the yard instead of in the garbage can.
Yeah, I guess so. That just seems like an extra unnecessary step, I think. I don't know.
I remember that graphic, right? And it's the carpet. It shows you the three layers, right? Your vacuum now only gets things on the surface. What if you were able to get things all the way down to the base of your carpet?
Yeah. On the text board, 803-0930. I don't know. Like, how do you deal with these people? And is it all... Has anyone ever had a good experience with, like, in the last 10 years with someone coming door to door? It's always an energy person.
And it can't be Girl Scout cookies. That's because you're going to buy the Girl Scout cookies.
Do I buy the Girl Scout cookies? That hasn't happened in a long time.
No. But that was
maybe once ever we've gotten, like, the Girl Scout cookie knock knock. Oh, no. You know what we've gotten? It's not that. It was the popcorn.
The popcorn, yeah.
The Boy Scout popcorn. And come to think of it, I don't think I ever got that popcorn.
No?
Surprise, surprise. Even that was a scam. If it comes to your door, you're not going to get what you pay for. 803-0930 on the text board. A lot of people saying this is why you have to get the Ring doorbell. This is a purchase I will make one of these years it goes on sale. I could see myself doing that. It's like the one piece of technology I kind of do want in the home. And then the others are a lot of other people saying it's just, yeah, scam. Or put up a no trespassing sign. I don't want to do that. You put up a no trespassing sign. Beware. No,
you
then you
be
just
welcoming.
Seem like an unfriendly person.
Yeah, you want to be. See, I understand what the texts are saying, but you live in a community. You live in a neighborhood. You want to seem welcoming. You don't want to be the house with no trespassing.
Yeah. Well, I thought I was pretty...
Yeah.
Pretty good about see you later. It was just the whole thing was just hilarious to me of selling solar energy on the gloomiest day in the last 3 months.
Hey, your neighborhood
takes
was
some
picked.
Nerve.
Your neighborhood was picked, Brian, and they have another neighborhood for today. They had to get you guys done. And remember, they had to go through once. I have seen this. Like when I was a kid, I have seen this. They go through once during the day, right? And then... That guy probably, they reversed roles, and that guy was going door to door when people got home from work. So you got the first roundabout of the neighborhood.
Yeah, they were coming back again. Anyways, well, I'm glad that's over with. Hopefully 3 months from now, I'll have the Ring doorbell and know not to answer the door just because it's bright.
they come with like the paperwork. I mean, they're very well prepared.
Oh, yeah, sign right here.
Yeah.
No.
No, thank you.
No, thanks. I don't need to do that. Joe, yesterday the news in the Diocese of Buffalo that there's going to be a major restructuring, major shuffling of things, and a lot of consolidation. Parishes closing, about a third of parishes being merged together, could result in upwards of 70 churches just being closed. It's... I guess I want to hear from people today is this surprising to you? Because we were talking just before we got on the air of, like, it can't be surprising. And we were speaking earlier this morning with Michael Tahiri about, you know, he said he's not surprised. He goes to church. He sees there's fewer people there. We talk about all the time, fewer and fewer people go to church. So in one way, it can't be surprising that this is said. On the other hand, a lot of what was presented yesterday by the diocese, I was taken aback a little bit. It was pretty surprising to hear some of these numbers and just how big the exodus has been from the Catholic Church in Western New York over the, you know, as the bishop put it, not just the last 20 years, not just the last 15, not...
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now, I'm sharing it all. Join me for unfiltered talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
Just the last 10, but the last even 5 years. Here's the bishop.
I've said right from the beginning, when we look at the vitality and the life of our parishes, that to me, what's more important than the financial piece are how our sacraments are being celebrated. That's why we're there. And when we see that there's only one baptism a month, I was also alarmed at the fact that we didn't have what was the how many parishes, what was it, 66 parishes didn't have anyone who came in to the into the church during the Easter season through the RCIA. That to me says we're not doing our, we're in maintenance mode. We need to be evangelizing, and we need to be out there again sharing our faith. That's what our mission is about. So that to me is very alarming. It's part of what keeps me and I know my brother priests up at night. You know, we celebrate a lot of funerals, and I mean those are wonderful things. But we need to replace them.
I mean, he's got some comedic timing. That can be sure.
But he's 100% right. I mean, that is, and it's not just the Catholic Church. It's focused on because you know the Catholic Church is the Diocese of Buffalo is huge in Buffalo. But you have more people, more churchgoers dying off than you have people newly joining churches. I think that's one of many reasons. Now, Brian, I was also I thought it was shocking the numbers when they dug down deep, but the news wasn't shocking to me because my understanding was this is why Bishop Fisher was brought in, right? To clean things up and to get back on, you know, to break away from bankruptcy, which they are doing. You knew churches were going to close. The thing is, let's point out, there are still churches out there that are packed on Sunday. Not as many as before, but you still see, I'm forgetting the name of the church on Maple, but I've been to a few services there, and every time I've gone there, the place is packed. I mean, you've got standing room, right? So I know there are still churches that get, you know, full or close to full, but unfortunately you have a lot that it's a very sparse crowd.
Some of the numbers that, I mean, really got me that you have parishes that do, and after I heard it, I guess I wasn't terribly surprised, but might not even do one baptism per month. I mean, that's it kind of shows you what's happening. This one, marriages in Catholic churches down by a quarter between 2020 and 2023. Now, that's, you might say, all right, well, not as many people are getting married. Okay, that's true.
Yep.
More people are getting married outside the church. I mean, how many weddings have you been to inside of a church?
Not many lately.
I can think of mine.
Yeah.
I can think of one other. That's it. Of everyone I know my age who I've been to a wedding, maybe two, including myself, that have actually taken place inside of a church.
Yours might have been the last wedding inside of a church.
That was 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to show. And this number, by the way, that's between 2020 and 2023. They're comparing that to the year where nobody did anything,
right,
where you weren't allowed to do anything inside of a church.
There were no weddings in church.
So, like, that is a big eye-popper. Attendance at weekend mass dropping over 50% in the last 10 years. 803-0930, were you surprised at all by the numbers? What is replacing the church? What happens if your community parish shuts down? 803-0930 BMAZ and Beamer on WBEN. Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here on WBEN, and talking about a number of things, including the big news from the Diocese of Buffalo yesterday, which said it was going to be undergoing a major consolidation, merging parishes. About a third of parishes could be merged. Could see over 70 churches shut down. Church closings might be based on a number of factors: location, contributing households, maybe more so than registered households. Decision on what parishes will close will happen before September. 803-0930, we're asking you today, I mean, what did you make of the news? And were you surprised by any of the numbers that you saw? Also talked a little bit this way. You know, I had one of these door-to-door salespeople yesterday come through. They're always selling energy now. That's the thing that goes through.
That's the door-to-door item.
Although somebody on the text board said that they had a door-to-door meat salesman.
Oh.
Yeah, that's not how they reacted. You were interested. and as they put it, I'm not going to buy meat out of somebody's trunk. That's all the meat thefts that you hear about.
Yep. I mean, Schwann's goes door to door, and they're very good.
But you don't buy it from the guy at the door.
No.
You order it, and they deliver it. Yeah, it's a delivery service. Yeah. It's not door to door sales.
Are they still around?
Yeah, you see the truck every now and then.
Not seen a Schwann's truck in forever.
Really?
Yeah.
With all the driving you do?
I know.
Huh. Charlie's in Depew. Charlie, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Morning.
Hey, Charlie.
How's it going?
Good. Several years ago, she's my ex-wife now, we actually bought one of those door-to-door rainbow vacuum cleaners.
Is that what did it?
Yeah. Well, it was over $1,000, so yeah, it's part of it probably. But believe it or not, it actually worked extremely well. I believe to this day she still has it. But
What's with the water?
The water is because it was filterless, so the water would catch all the dust and debris and everything that you vacuumed up. The sales pitch was even with a filter, even with a bag and the filters, it would still vacuum cleaner still blow out the air, and
there it is.
a lot of the dust and stuff. So supposedly the water would catch it. And it, like I said, it worked. It worked very well. The only thing was, every time you used it, you had to empty the water. And you know, it was always,
kind of a pain.
Once we hit, it was a pain. And then if you're in a hurry and you I'll get to it later, and just kind of put it off to the side, then it started to smell. And but as far as the vacuum itself, that's what I used to do.
So who got the vacuum cleaner?
Oh, no, she got the bag.
Later. Sorry to hear that, Charlie.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Appreciate you listening in. There you go. I mean, I guess that makes sense. It traps the dust, a filterless vacuum.
But
okay.
You can't just leave water sitting around. I would be the person that, what's that smell?
Joe, didn't dump the water out of the vacuum cleaner again. Is that why that's not popular anymore? When's the last time you've seen one of those vacuums?
I mean, isn't the big thing now just the stick vacs, the bagless vacs, a lot of people have the vacuum that does itself. I had a bad experience. We got rid of ours. We didn't like it. But I just, like, the big bulky vacuum cleaner doesn't seem to be.
tried to kill you in your sleep, the robot vacuum?
It would say, hey, job complete, and I'd find, dirt and stuff. Like,
what do you expect?
It's an awful job. I mean, hey, it was a great gift, but we've moved on.
Yeah. No, it's been a while since I've seen the big whirlpool around anywhere. 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN. On the diocese changing what they're doing going forward, the numbers that they put out there were eye-popping, at least to me. And we've talked so many times about, fewer people going to church, all these kind of things, but the numbers that they presented yesterday were, I was kind of stunned, Joe. Now, you have to take some of them with a grain of salt, like this one. In 2012, about 155,000 people were attending weekend mass.
Okay.
2021, that number fell to just 60,000. I mean, that is, in 10 years, that is cut in half. Now, 2021, you've got other things factored in? You know, were churches still, I mean, I know they were open, but you have all these restrictions, you know, people asking you to wear a mask, you have this or that. I could see why the number would be lower.
Yeah, we dipped in and out of being able to have full capacity. Remember, 2021 was kind of a roller coaster when it came to capacity limits.
But when it comes to contributing households, so, you know, people who are in some way, shape, or form involved in the parish, that number was at about 70,000 people in 2021. So, you know, even if you add 10,000, all right, so that's maybe the number. You're still cutting it in half in just about 10 years. And while we talk over and over about, you know, fewer people going to church and this and that, I don't think I ever really expected the number to just cut in half.
In a decade.
In a decade's time. I mean, that is such a humongous decrease in people.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, again, I mean, less people are going to church throughout most religions, right? That's a common theme. But I do think, you know, the Buffalo Diocese is reeling and trying to clean up its image, right? I mean, we talked about this last week. I mean, the Buffalo Diocese, there are still people that, you know, I mean, they are still going through bankruptcy. They're still going through cases. For some reason, they still have Bishop Malone at certain services. So, I mean, the Buffalo Diocese, yes, all churches, all religions are losing members. But I think the Buffalo Diocese, some of the damage done, you'll see if it you know comes back, if people do come back. But I do think that plays into this, and that's why it's such a significant drop. You have the drop that every religion's seeing, but you also see some of the damage that the diocese has done.
803-0930 to join us here on WBEN. Somebody's texting in saying, you know, not that you need to go to the building to have faith, but as you know, I bring up all the time, Joe, you do kind of need these buildings and communities for what they provide, the services that happen. It's, you know, yes, it is a church. Yes, you're there for religious reasons, but it's also kind of like a social club, right? It's there for people to gather. Yep. And gather and do good things. I mean, think of all, and it goes beyond even a food pantry. I mean, there's outreach for elderly people. There's outreach for anyone you can think of. You close a parish might host AA meetings. A parish might, all these other things that now there's a little bit of a vacuum. If 70 churches throughout Western New York are shut down,
you'll lose those services.
Who is taking it up?
Yep.
Right. Without the church in the community, what is replacing that? I don't really see anything replacing that. I think everyone's just kind of going their own way. And, you know, does there need to be like an agnostic like service center or a return of a community center in some way to replace what the church provided and gave back to the community? Like, those are the things that I think of all the time when I see these stories, and especially when you see the numbers that were given out by the diocese yesterday.
And the remaining churches can only do so much, right? The remaining churches can only take on so much.
Or maybe they're bigger and better if more people go. But then it brings up another question. Your parish closes down. What do you do?
How far are you driving?
Well, I remember growing up as a kid, we would walk down the street to church on Sunday. I don't know how many people are able to do that all the time, but like it was that close in your community. Now, I mean, as it stands right, I could walk down the street right now. We drive somewhere else. You know, we belong to a different church. But are you going to make the move? Like, what do you do? 803-0930, we'll go Steve in Grand Island. Steve, you're on WBEN. Good morning.
Yes, sir. I just want to talk about a little bit about the church I used to go to in the city, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if you want me to mention that. And I've been going there for the last 50 years, all right? And gradually, you see the whole thing just disintegrating. I think a lot of it has to do with the complexion of the neighborhood, all right? I think a lot of people that used to go to this church in a Riverside area at one time was primarily a white neighborhood. Since then, a lot of people have moved out into the suburbs, and you know, other minority groups have moved in because the housing there is pretty decent. But the population of our congregation has gone down considerably, just up to about 2 years ago, we used to have two masses, one on a Saturday, one on a Sunday. And each one of those would get maybe 40, 50 people. And now they reduced it. They claimed it was because of not enough priests available. They reduced it to one mass on a Sunday.
Steve, you look at some of the numbers, and there aren't as many priests. Race doesn't have anything to do with it, Steve. It's just simply people with different religions who are going to their own denomination of whatever that is. I often wonder that. You know, people who are not going to a Catholic church, have they replaced that with, are they going to a different church?
People have left the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
Or are you, have people given up church entirely? Now, if you look at national polling numbers, it would kind of show that, well, no, they're not going to church at all.
Like I say,
it's
numbers,
been replaced with nothing.
Yeah, numbers support that they're...
But, you know, you wonder because it as much as, you know, you can look at a lot of these churches closing, sometimes the church is replaced with another denomination going in there. Yeah. And, you know, when I bring up the point of community service, I don't care what denominations there. Like, any religion is going to have that kind of service, hopefully, have that service mentality and that outreach aspect to it. As long as it's being replaced with something.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. And we'll see. I mean, as you said, national numbers, religion is down across all denominations. I mean, many of these churches, Brian, are just going to sit empty. You know what I mean? Once the Catholic Church, you know, the diocese moves out, they're just going to sit empty.
What happens to those buildings? What happens if your parish shuts down? 803-0930, we'll go to Joe in Tonawanda. You're on WBEN. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, I'm good, doing Joe. Well. Joe Eminger, are we talking to?
It is Joe Eminger. You are correct.
You can't disguise the voice. We've talked to you too many times.
I guess not.
How are you?
Good. I'm calling in to talk about religion, not politics.
All right. Go at it.
Okay. And I do have a son, in full disclosure, I do have a son who is a young Catholic priest. And he's going to be one of the 38 priests in the next 15, 20 years who are going to be left. I've been telling people for the last couple of years, put bankruptcy aside. That's a whole other issue. The leadership of this diocese failed its flock over many, many decades. Okay, now that's a whole separate issue. We gotta take care of the victims, unquestionably get through the bankruptcy. This is really a numbers game. The news yesterday should come as no surprise to anybody who's been paying attention. Okay, we have 160 parishes, and look at the number of priests. Okay, in 15, 20 years, you're going to have 38 priests. So this is only the start. They're going to close 70 parishes and oratories. Now, there's going to be more. They're just not the bodies to fill. So as a Catholic, a strong Catholic, okay, I would rather be a much leaner, and these are things I've told my son, we're going to be a smaller faith community, but I think we'll be a stronger faith community because the churches will be more vibrant, and the half-empty, three-quarter-empty churches will be a thing of the past. And it's just something I do not. My church is open. The church I grew up in is still open. The church I go to now is still open. But if my church closed tomorrow, my parish closed tomorrow, my faith is not in a building. My faith is in the guy up above. Okay, and I can go to any church and feel very comfortable. Being in it. Now, I know it's difficult. People, the parishes are going to close, schools are going to close. I understand that. But people who have been paying attention shouldn't be surprised. This has been building up to this point for a long time. And I give Bishop Mike credit for maybe a little bit slow to the trigger. Maybe I'm not going to criticize him on that, but it's a move that had to be done to get us pointed in the right direction, in my opinion.
What gets lost when you belong to a parish and you only have a few people in the pews, as opposed to, you know, as I guess the idea here would be, if you merge parishes, you'll have a pretty full church.
So what gets lost?
And what gets when it's not full, right? When you don't have, well, as you said, kind of a vibrant parish community. Sure. What gets lost?
You said the word right there, community. The feeling of community is lost. Okay, community is a very important part of our faith, and when you lack community, your faith isn't fully developed. And I think that's what the diocese is trying to get back. They're trying to get back the feeling of community. And listen, it's not going to happen overnight. It's a serious problem that we're facing here. The trust factor at the diocese, okay, rightfully so, isn't at its peak. I'll leave it at that. Okay, and it's got to be gained, regained, and they got to be honest. They got to be honest. They got to tell the faithful what, you know, what's going on, and don't try and sugarcoat things. In politics, I always say we got to tell the electorate, the elected, the truth, because the public, the electorate, they can handle the truth. Same thing with the diocese. The faithful can handle the truth. It's when you try to not be as truthful as you should. That's when the cover-up, Richard Nixon, you know, the cover-up is worse than the crime.
Yep.
Okay, and that's kind of the case here with the diocese. The crimes that were committed, okay, were horrendous. But the cover-up, I think, is just as bad, if not worse.
Well, hey, Joe, appreciate you calling in and weighing in on the topic. I'm sure we'll talk again in the future. To the point of community, Joe, and this is outside of the Catholic Church, but I've watched this church be built. It's in North Tonawanda along Robinson Road over the course of a few years. I know it's a church now because they just put up a sign not that long ago, Evangelical Church. And I think it's an old church building. It might be an old Catholic church building. I'm not sure. But, you know, I've watched over time, and then if you drove by on a Sunday or even like some week nights, the parking lot would be filled with cars. And they've always got something going on. And then, you know, I was driving by the other day and I peered and looked in the back. They got like a big playground they built back there. I see they're putting up a new sign. And it says Evangelical Church. And I have no idea what it's like inside. I have no idea what the service is. I have no idea if I'd like it. You know, maybe they're in there teaching everything I would love. Maybe they're in there, you know, saying some crazy stuff every single week.
Right.
But I can't help but look at that and think, well, like, that's the idea.
Yes.
Right. Like, that's the idea. They kind of have a bunch of people together who built something up, and then they're going there more than just on one day, Sunday. You know, there's a playground in the back. There's a basketball nets they put up in the parking lot. There's all these different things for people to stay active in the building with their community all week long, you know, all the time. And, you know, again, I know absolutely nothing about the church, but from an outside, from a literal drive-by glance, I look at that and I think, well, that's, if the Catholic Church had more of that going on, they wouldn't have had this announcement they had yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, you know, church is something that people are supposed to be able to look to past just Sunday. That's a lyric to a song, and I'm forgetting the song right now, Brian, but I'm sure 5 hours from now, when no one's listening to me or, you know, looking at my social media, it'll pop into my head. But I think Joe makes a good point. You know, the diocese does need to be honest and transparent. And I do think you could, like he said, it's going to be a long process. I do think you can win some people back. Some people will never come back, and for obvious reasons, and that's understandable. But I do think the diocese, if they're just honest and transparent, something they have not been, I do believe they could get some people. You have to regain trust. You have to start with people being able to trust you before they even think about coming back to church.
Well, we'll both be back here tomorrow. Hopefully everyone enjoys the rest of the day. Better weather on the way. You got David coming up next. The news with Lucas, Tom Bowerly, all straight ahead on WBEN.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Each week, I'll take you on a dark journey through terrifying true urban legends, bizarre true crime cases, chilling tales of backwoods horror, and more. So if you're looking to join a passionate community of the darkly curious, check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember, stay curious.